Do you know who was named the best putting mat in 2022 by My Golf Spy? It was the mats from Birdie Ball. It'll help you sink more putts and make more birdies with a Birdie Ball putting green, all in the comfort of your own home. Check out Birdie Ball online at birdieball.com. Birdie Ball is here to make golf more fun and accessible. Find out more at birdieball.com.
It's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores the golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in the short grass for the hackers, dew sweepers, and turf spankers. Here's Jeff.
Just open up the door and let's take good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today.
Hi, everybody. This is JT. This week on Grilling at the Green, we're going to bring you some highlights from the Portland Golf Show, where we did a couple live shows last week when we talked to some very interesting and fun people. So here you go. Here's our highlights of the Portland Golf Show.
Trevor Traxel. I say it right that time. From Chinook Winds Casino down in Lincoln City. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been a good year for us, and we're excited for springtime golf. Here we are in March and we're snowing, right?
Right.
But that's Oregon for us.
Now, Trevor is a man with multiple hats, right? He's the director of golf. I won't get that second title right, but he makes sure people are following the rules.
Yeah. Director of compliance for Chinook Winds. So I'm a glorified auditor.
See, I'm the director of compliance in my outfit.
Okay.
But I'm also the cook. I also wash cars. I do a lot of stuff. So we were talking yesterday, I think, and you were saying that Chinook Winds, you guys have invested a big chunk of change in the course.
Yeah, when the course was first built back in early 70s, we still have the same irrigation lines as they did then. And it's nowhere up to what standards should be. And our GM has committed a significant amount of money to the golf course for us to buy what we need and get the right pop-ups for heads so we can try to keep our course as green as possible during the summer months. We get pretty brown. We want to keep it as green as possible, so we're investing a lot of money and energy into getting irrigation laid out.
And you also have a training center there, for lack of a better term. I've seen it. It's an indoor facility. It's huge.
Yeah.
You can hit clubs in the bay, so to speak. There's also a couple of putting areas in there. There's all kinds of that. And from the first times I went to Chinook Winds, which was more than 2 days ago, that's actually a new situation there, and I think you've done some upgrades there.
Yeah, we have, as far as I know, I think we're the only indoor driving range on the Oregon coast.
Yeah.
So that makes it nice for folks in the 6-7 months where it's pouring down rain. We're open till 7-8 o'clock, so a guy can come in there after work and hit a couple buckets of balls. I think we have about 8 different hitting mats in there. So that's another one of our things we have in the works in the pipeline is in our fitness center, which is with our golf facility. We are going to convert one of our racquetball courts into a really nice, I don't want to call it a man cave, that might scare off our female faction.
Right.
We want to call it like a golf suite, something like that, with a golf simulator, maybe a couple leather couches.
Beverages.
Yeah, beverages. We have the bar upstairs so they can get food, they can get drink. So, you know, me and four buddies or me and three buddies, we can come in on a Tuesday night in the middle of November, play 18 at, Pebble Beach or TPC, whatever we want to do through a simulator, and it'll be a lot of fun.
You know, it's amazing. I for a guy that's over 15 years old, which I am, the technology, I've actually tried to keep up with technology. And, you know, when I went to college, if it gives you any idea, we had punch cards in here. You know, that was and DOS was all heaven and earth, so to speak. But I really find it fascinating with these simulators and then what people are using them, like Chinook Winds, if you develop that, and some of these bars and stuff and restaurants that have, you know, hitting bays, and people can go have, they can play around at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
They can do that. They can have their buddies there. A lot of them are better than just your average bar food of nachos and a hot dog type thing. And but you get to see it, and they're going great guns. A lot of them are.
Yeah, these simulators, just in the past 10 years, have just light years improved. We used to have one up in upstairs in our sports bar. And at the time, it was a nice one, but you know, everybody who came by would hit balls, and next thing you know, it was always broken. So we just did away with it. And now my GM now he's on board with us putting a new one in. And I told him, I says, where you saw them 5-10 years ago, I says, they're just light years better now.
Oh, yeah. And they were bigger. They were bulkier. The screens were weirder, you know, and all that. And now it's this big.
Yeah.
You
know, it's amazing.
So what's your favorite part of doing what you do at Chinook Winds?
On the golf side, being able to have a part in maybe turning that corner, because I think our pro shop and our golf course was in a rut for a while. And now I think with a new GM, he's given us the reins to spend money on irrigation. We're a Srixon Cleveland all rental clubs now. We're getting rental carts and about a brand new parts in a month from now.
Oh, cool.
And my GM was all on board with getting the little screens with the GPS. And it didn't hurt when I told him, this is, you know, we can roll our casino promotions through this screen too.
Oh yeah.
We can roll our food specials. You know, come eat at the casino. We got a steak special on Wednesday night. Call for your tickets, Diamond Rio this weekend. So when I told him, I says, hey, we can run this in front of somebody's face for 3 hours while they're golfing. And it was a no-brainer for him. He's like, yeah, more advertising, let's do it.
Well, they do it in Vegas and Reno.
Yeah,
all those places. Yeah. You know, I've never gotten in the golf cart in one of those situations where you didn't have some promotion. And normally from the casino that was putting on the, you know, the scramble or whatever you were playing. So that's pretty cool. How's your golf game, bud?
You know, it's a work in progress, right? I did just get brand new clubs, so now I'm at the mercy of figuring out distances. I have the old ones dialed in. I got new ones, so now I'm trying to figure out.
Cleveland Srixon, or what'd you get?
I did. I went to all Srixon.
Yeah.
Srixon, Cleveland wedges. Super nice set of clubs.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. You know, when... I'll let you go here in a minute because I know you want to get back to your booth. But, you know, when you pull into Lincoln City, which is, if you don't know, that's where Chinook Winds is, and you drive by the course, the first thing you see, and I think maybe to some people, if they've never been there before, there's a hill on the course.
Yeah.
You see the side hill, and you're thinking, good Lord, is that the whole course like that?
Yeah, like that? It's not, well, maybe young kids, whatever. It's, to me, it's not a walking friendly course.
Yeah.
I prefer a cart, but I'm getting kind of old and
I'm with you.
Putting a few on myself. It's a good course to rent a cart. Now, you know, with the GPS we're going to have in there, see, Meg, because what's the first thing we like to do after we hit a drive and it's down the middle? I want to know how far I hit it, and we can tell you.
Yeah,
I'll tell you exactly how far you
think. Oh yeah, you want to be able to do that, and also you probably get this worked in there where you can order lunch at coming into the turn, and it'll be waiting for you, and all those.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about that system is we can geofence the cart. So when we say cart path only, the carts won't go off the cart path, and we can also set it up when it hits a certain GPS point, like the number 8 tee box. That thing will pop up with a prompt: hey, order your food now. We'll have it ready for you as you come through the turn. And, it's exciting. You know, food and beverage is happy. Marketing will be happy. So, yeah, we're all excited. We're all excited about
things. Good for you. Yeah, a little inside baseball here. Trevor and I met last year. We just kind of walked up to the booth. I wasn't doing live streaming last year. I was handing out birdie balls and promoting my clients and stuff. And we've gotten to know each other. I still haven't been down to see you yet.
Yeah, you got to come down.
I got to come down. Yeah. And that's a to-do thing this spring. Okay, the weather's a little nicer. My wife loves the coast. I love the coast and all that. But I'll expect you and I to play 18 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know before you come out. I'll free up the day.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes with more highlights from the Portland Golf Show. I hope you're enjoying this, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, JT here. You know, every week on Grilling at the Green, we bring you a travel tip, and that is brought to you by the Westin Dealerships. I've known those guys since I was a kid, and they have one way of doing business. It's called the Westin Way. It's family-oriented, and there's no better people to deal with. Check out Westin Kia on Southeast Stark in Gresham, Oregon. Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. Thanks for being with us today. What you're hearing this weekend is highlights from the Portland Golf Show. We talked to the promoters, we talked to the exhibitors, and we talked to just the people in attendance. So we got a lot of dialogue out of a lot of folks. Here's some more from the Portland Golf Show.
Claire's with Delicato Wines right next door.
Yes.
Yes. And a lot, top right, oh, real yes. closer.
Okay.
And I know you're one of the busier people around here, I notice.
Yeah.
A lot of pouring.
A lot of pouring. People love their wine.
No spilling?
A little spilling.
A little spilling.
I'll have to admit. Yeah.
So tell us about Delicato Wines.
So we have a really large wine portfolio over there. We have five different whites and five different reds. Most of them are from California. We have a couple from New Zealand and then another one. From the Austrian area. So really great. These are all wines you can find at supermarkets. So it's great because people can come, they can see these wines, they can try a little taste of each. And then when they're at the supermarket, they're able to say, hey, I've tried five of you. And it makes it really approachable.
I know you guys bought Coppola wines.
We did.
Coppola wines a couple of years ago.
Yeah. They make a great gift.
Did you get to meet Francis?
No, I didn't. I wish.
Get an autograph, get a little Godfather deal going there.
Yeah.
No, like that. So, Claire, how long have you been doing demos?
A while now, 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're still upright.
I know. You got to get a good mat to stand on.
Yeah. It's demos can be tough. I've done a few in my life.
Yeah.
And they're long days, short nights sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all good. When, you know, there's rules and regulations, of course, about serving people and giving samples and all that. And if you're in the food business at all, you know those things. But are most people very gracious? I mean, regardless if they really like the vintage or not, are most people really gracious? Or do you ever get somebody that kind of turns up their nose and goes, I only drink rosé from West Germany or something?
Do I ever get that all the time?
Do you?
Oh, yeah. But I think people are really happy to try things, especially post-COVID when we weren't allowed to try things or go out as much. So when demos came back, people were so excited to try the variety that we have.
And you get to try a few?
Sometimes I get to taste if they're not poisonous at the beginning of a shift. So
at the end of the day, you kind of what do you do with the half empty bottles or half full bottles to be on a positive?
It depends on what my boss tells me to do with them. So tomorrow we'll be serving again. It was really interesting. We were able to try one of the wines that was open for the night. Yeah. You know, obviously corked, but opened up a little bit.
Right.
And then the next day we just opened one right now and we tried them side by side and it was really nice to see.
What do you do, Claire, with guys like me who I'm not a big drinker anymore anyway, but... you know, to me, honestly, wine is kind of wine unless I find something like a, you know, a certain year Merlot or something that I really like. So do you have something for kind of please everybody or are these very well-rounded vintages?
Well, we have 10 wines to try from. So I hope that we can please everybody. Yeah, it depends what you like, you know. It depends what you like. We have red, whites, but we also, right now, we're primarily doing California reds. And since I've tasted them all, people come up and they ask me, well, I want, you know, something not too strong, not too heavy, or I like something very dry. So I just go ahead and have them try something that I think they would like.
How is this different than doing a food show, food and beverage show?
A food and beverage show?
Yeah. Well, like right next door, they have a seafood and wine show.
Different
promoter, but I've worked some of those, and they're different than like a sports show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're doing wine tasting, it's a lot more tactile. I mean, you're working with the person. I'm not up there doing just a show. I'm talking about the wine. The person is tasting it. So it's a little bit more inclusive and hands-on. So
my question is, do they pay you to do research on this? When you say you got to know something about the wine, do they say, okay, Claire, here's the case. Go home. Study it. Sample it.
No, I don't get to study before. That's why when I come in, if it's allowed, I try a little sip of each. But I do read the material. And a lot of these wines, as I mentioned, they're at the supermarket. So yeah. I've actually tried them because they're quite affordable. They're between $15 to $20 a bottle.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And what makes this demo kind of special is that everyone can try, as I said, a little bit of each instead of me just sampling one Pinot Noir or two.
Yeah, we're kind of famous for that up here.
We are.
So what's your favorite one?
Of the group right now?
Yes.
Probably the 1924 barrel aged.
Say it again.
The 1924 barrel aged wine. It's by the Gnarly Head Wine Group. They have the Grateful Dead wines with the tree on it. But that's the wine group that makes this 1924 wine.
Okay, well, you've got some customers over there. I don't want to run you off, but we got somebody else coming in here.
All right.
But thank you.
Thank you so much.
And enjoy being your neighbor.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So nice to meet you. What is your name?
What's my name?
Yeah.
Ichabod Crane. No, it's Jeff.
Jeff, thank you, Jeff. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Okay, that's Claire from Delacto Wines, and we appreciate her. That's what it takes to be a success at one of these trade shows. You got to have that bubbly personality and smile and do all that. Plus you have to have I've got my right-hand hitman with me today, Steve Budden from Texas. And he's rounding up people, for me to, actually interview. And, we should have a few new ones coming in here shortly, but, it's a fun show. So I think you can actually on Facebook, you can send me questions and stuff. Doesn't mean I'm going to answer them, but send me little questions on the comment section there. My buddy Barry Barks is out there. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. And no, I'm not too cute. I can always improve. There's always things to improve on, isn't there? By the way, being shamelessly self-promoting here, Barry and I did a radio series a long time ago called The Great American West, and that is now available in audiobook form. I think you can get it on Google. You can get it on I can't think of all the it will be on Audible. You can get it on Spotify. You can get it on a lot of platforms like that. So just go to The Great American West and we'll be talking about that.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with our special from the Portland Golf Show right after this. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm JT, and you're listening to Grilling at the Green. We are presenting highlights from last weekend's Portland Golf Show. It was a great show. It's the 27th annual Portland Golf Show, and we talked to a lot of interesting people. Here's just a little part of that.
I got a new victim here.
What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. So, tell us, this is the first time I've seen you at the golf show. So that doesn't mean anything because I don't always get around to everybody.
No, that's all right. So we, our first year here in Portland was last year.
Okay.
We kind of opposite corner compared to this year.
Right.
Yeah, so love it. We want to keep coming back. It's our third golf show of the season. We do Boise first, followed by Spokane, Portland this weekend. Next weekend we'll be in Seattle.
Seattle.
Yes, sir.
So which is your favorite show?
Oh, you know, Spokane's fun. Just because we don't get up there a lot. You know, it's not one of those like big cities.
Right.
It's kind of a small feel. You know, that's a good question. I like all of them for different reasons. Seattle's fun. We're going to go to a Seattle Kraken game this next weekend, so it's kind of fun. We don't get big city sports in Boise where we live.
Yeah. Keep talking. I got to
So I'll give you the quick rundown.
Okay.
Four buddies. We started the company in Idaho about 5 years ago. Started specifically with Idaho golf gear. And after a couple years, COVID, we ran into COVID just like everybody else. And our wholesale orders slowed down just because pro shops and stuff were closed.
Right.
So that's when we decided to finally listen to the market. We had a bunch of people that had bought our stuff that wanted different states, you know, Oregon, Washington, Utah, even.
I noticed a little.
Yeah. So we got a little. We got a little Oregon here.
Yeah.
Little golf scenery, Mount Hood kind of in the background. And so when we had a little bit more free time, you know, with COVID, we decided to get into other states. And it wasn't a big jump. It wasn't a big, I guess, market that we didn't know. I mean, we have family.
Right.
Both Washington, Oregon. I've been here. Both states dozens of times.
Oh yeah.
So we decided we'll hit that Pacific Northwest feel. A couple of years later, we kind of came out with a Bigfoot Golfing. That took off.
I like the logo.
Thanks. It's on my shirt. So
right, let's see. Yeah. Let's move this one.
Yeah, move that out of the way. You can see it.
There you go. Now you move it back.
But yeah, so that we kind of came out with that just to kind of see what would happen. Actually, the idea came from a trip to the Oregon coast. We saw Bigfoot everywhere, you know, t-shirts, stickers, all this stuff. And so I came back to the guys and I said, all right, hear me out. Let's do a Bigfoot Golfing. And we did that winter, kind of launched it the following spring at the golf show in Boise. And I think we sold out of all of our Bigfoot hats like on the second day. And so he said, okay. We got something here. So we tried to work in all of our designs, some sort of Pacific Northwest theme. It might be as obvious as the patch on my hat. That's right. The outline of Oregon, or as subtle as one of our polos. We have the Oregon State tree as one of the design, as part of the design.
Right. So can you make things specific? I'm sure you can. It's not the question of if you can do it, but will you do it for like a specific golf course or a specific club, you know, that's got a golf course and tennis, and, you know, a country club type situation. From a very large course to, you know, maybe something like in Portland here, like Willamette or Waverly, Lake Oswego, one of those, down to the 9-hole course that's off in the lower echelons of Eastern Oregon and Washington.
Yeah. So we do actually a little bit of both. So we do everything from we sell our products straight with the, you know,
right,
our logo here on the front. And then we embroider the course logo or design or whatever it is on the side of the hat.
Right.
We've even done custom designs for a couple of courses where we include Bigfoot, but then we work it in with the course design. That's pretty minimal when we do stuff like that, but we do it if the course wants it.
You ever seen a Bigfoot?
I've not seen a Bigfoot, but you know, I keep my eye out now, especially in the Pacific Northwest when I'm in a mountain course playing golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it. They're quick buggers.
I know. And I'm, if you're like me, you're always playing from behind the trees or in the woods. So it's a good place to look.
I'll give you a little secret. They make a little baby chainsaw. It's about that big.
Okay.
And you can keep it in the bottom part of your bag.
Okay? I like
they're battery operated. They don't make much noise, but sometimes it will help you get out of certain situations. I'm just throwing out there.
I like where your head's at, especially when I'm playing my sandbagging buddies over there. You got to take any leverage you can get.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, like I said, sometimes you need to kind of clear a path, you might say.
I mean, what do they say? If it's a movable object, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're able to move it, a little chainsaw might as well.
Everything is a matter. Everything can be moved. It's just a relative term. It's the way I look at it.
Agreed. 100%. Yeah.
So who came up with the Bigfoot idea originally? Was it you? Was it a group of you?
It was me. I came back and told the guys, like, we got to do something with Bigfoot. But I'm definitely not the design guy. So my buddy Zach, who's actually man in the booth right now, kind of came up with, you know, the iconic silhouette that you see everywhere, threw a golf bag on him, and then gave him a little hang loose sign on his hand. Yeah. So
does he have a cell phone?
No, he's just got this little.
Yeah, it's a hang ten.
Yeah, his little. Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking with the hang loose, but it worked. So and the four of us, we all kind of come up with different ideas. So I've come up with a few. My buddy Zach's come up with a few. My buddy's wife has come up with a few.
They do that.
Yeah. But you know what? In this particular case, they come up with a couple of good designs that sell well for us. So, yeah. And then some of the designs we have a shotgun start design, and that kind of stemmed from, I took a picture of my buddy shotgunning a beer while my other buddy teed off, and it turned out cool. We made a patch out of it, put it on a hat.
Nick, it's been a pleasure to be
here. Yes, sir.
Well, real quick, what's your favorite thing about the golf show besides selling your wares?
I love talking to the people, getting different ideas on what people like to wear.
Yeah.
Golf has changed a little bit since COVID, a lot of younger crowd. So it gives me a little new ideas for how to stay relevant, how to stay young with some of the design.
Young.
Yeah. I'm in my 30s. So, you know, you see some 21-year-old kids, you start to feel a little older.
So last question, this is for our diehard golfers.
You got it.
You don't wear your hat backwards, do you, when you're
playing? No.
Okay.
Good, no, man. I can't wear my hat backwards. I got to wear it with the glasses because I'm blind in the sun.
Okay. I get that. I get that.
Not me. Not, I don't look good like that.
You know, if you're weeding the flower beds or something, you want to wear your hat backwards, that's cool, but not on a golf course.
I guess if for whatever reason, if it's impeding my swing under a tree, maybe, but no.
That's a one-off,
yeah.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Buddy. Yeah, take care.
Have a great weekend. You great too. Show.
We are at the Portland Golf Show. We're coming to you live today. We had a couple of technical issues yesterday, a little bit with the internet here and a little bit of equipment, so I apologize about that, but we think we've got that fixed, and I hope you enjoy this. This is the 25th year of the Portland Golf Show. It's out at the Expo Center. It's actually an excellent show to come. There's all kinds of things here that would interest you, if it's golf clubs, golf clothing, stuff that has nothing to do with golf. There's lots of food, lots of entertainment. There's just all kinds of things that you can come, and it's worth the money to take a trip around. You can't see it all in an hour. That's for sure. It's going to take a little longer than that for you. But you know what? It's well worth it. I mean, just where we are, we've got the Birdie Time Pub on the other side of us. We've got some wineries around here. We've got some distilleries around here. Of course, I'm a food guy, so that makes a lot of sense. I'm waiting for our first guest to show up here. And there's a lot of fun. There's clubs to test. You know, there's discount clothing. Red Tail is here. They've got a huge display when you come in the front door off to your right, and you can do a lot of that, do a little shopping, little shoe shopping. My good friend Pat Boyle from KEX, KXL, and KPAM days, she finally found a pair of Winter Wonderland shoes today.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more highlights from the Portland Golf Show here on Grilling at the Green, all of our radio stations, and all of our podcast platforms. right after this. Hey everybody, JT here. If you need something to practice with in the inclement weather, try Birdie Ball. Go to birdieball.com, check out the actual Birdie Balls, their packages, their putting greens, which I happen to have a couple of those, and they work great. Birdieball.com. Hey, thanks for listening to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. We'd also like to thank the folks that support this show, Painted Hills Natural Beef, the Oregon Crab Commission, Birdie Ball, Weston Kia in particular for always putting up with me like that, Heritage Steel and Hammerstall Knives, along with Leanne's, you know, favorite little rub there, Pig Powder. So I don't think I missed anybody, but if I did, I'm sorry. Here, we're going to wrap up the show with more highlights from the Portland Golf Show.
You're with Stretching Zone. Stretching Zone. Excuse me. It's hard to imagine me being tough-tied. You know, Cody, you can come here and you can look around and see all the different booths. There's all kinds of things to help your golf game. Some of those types of booths, maybe not so much. But it's all good and fun. And you see the people on TV, you hear people like yourself say, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, stretch out, get loose, do all that. Not everybody does it.
Absolutely.
And that's when you pay the price. So give us a 5-6 minute thumbnail of why you should do it and then how you do it and then what you guys are looking for over there at Stretch Zone.
Yeah.
There, sit up a little closer here. There you go.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if we're talking golf specifics, right, we can start with the basics. It's like you need range of motion for your golf swing, right? You should have it, yeah. Right? And someone really wise told me that all of us need a 90-degree rotation with our golf swing, correct? I would hope so also.
Yeah.
So if you're limiting that range of motion and the rotation through the mid and upper back, your golf game is going to immediately suffer, right? So what we do at Stretch Zone is deal with and help people who've got limitations with a lot of the deeper postural muscles, you know, like the erector spinae, which is a group of muscles that fit from the back. They run from the base of the skull all the way down to the tailbone, right? So some of those deep stabilizing muscles, we're not able to work on our own. So that's where Stretch Zone comes in and helps. So it's a patented strapping system. If you've walked over there, you see the belts and the straps and all that.
Right.
We use those to help us isolate and stabilize the muscle groups that we want to focus on. It also keeps our clients safe on the table for one and secure so that they're not moving around and we're really able to hone in on the area that we wanted to focus on. Right.
Yeah. I've been under the table a few times in my life, but I've never had somebody strap me to the table. Have to come over and get that experience.
Please do. Absolutely. And it's definitely different than stretching on your own as well, right? When you do stretches on your own, oftentimes, firstly, you're utilizing muscles to help get you into the stretch to begin with.
Right.
Same thing with people doing yoga. A lot of people are like, well, I do yoga as well, which is great. And I would never tell anybody not to do mobility work.
Right.
But isolating muscles the way that we do is definitely different. So I think that's how we separate from our competitors for sure.
So are you guys chiropractors, physiotherapists, PT specialists? I mean, I'm sure everybody's got varied trainings along with the basic stuff. So what are you looking at then?
So our technical title is a certified stretch practitioner.
Okay.
So we look for practitioners to join our company that have previous experience with human anatomy and physiology, have backgrounds in kinesiology, personal trainers, physical therapy aides, assistants, massage therapists as well.
Sure.
So kind of all across the board, but people who are looking to help others, I think is the biggest part, right?
Yeah.
From that we have a nationally accredited board certification for the stretching and the training process as well. And all of our practitioners go through a yearly audit and retraining and recertification process as well. So everybody stays current.
What's your favorite part about the job?
Yeah. If I can tell you a quick story.
Hey, it's the internet. We got all the time in the world.
I was at an event, and a guy had a medical emergency, right? We saw him in our studio 3 months later. He was in physical therapy and speech therapy, and he was looking to add more into his life.
Right.
And he was basically, at that point, mobile. And I just got a message from one of my practitioners that I had worked with a couple years back. He now works at the rec center in that city. And he said he saw that guy there.
Oh, cool.
And he was verbal again. He was moving. So to be able to see progress like that is next to none.
Thank you for listening today. You've been listening to the highlights on Grilling at the Green from the live shows we did at the Portland Golf Show. We will be back next week, I believe, with Sarah Kemp from the LPGA. So thanks for listening, and have a good week. Go out, play some golf, and be kind, everybody.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions, LLC, in association with Salem Media Group, all rights reserved. And remember, the key to lower scores, a pencil with an eraser. See you next week.